Welcome,
hi y'all,
to the next 8-4 Play Podcast.
Woo!
Your home for Japan and games and Japanese games.
The home of Japan.
I think so. Yeah. And it feels like the full family is home.
Yay.
Again, our prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Prodigal.
Right here.
Prodigal
our son.
Our son
from the prodigy.
Has returned.
Yes, I'm back.
That is Roy Grayson Blakely.
Grayson. Wow, you guys came up with that quick.
Wow, Roy Grayson, that actually sounds like a super
country singer.
Or a country singer, yeah. That's
I was going to say like a video game character.
My name's Roy
JRPG
Grayson.
Character.
How are you doing, Roy? I'm good.
Yeah.
Where have you been?
America's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on over there?
You can't drink any water in Ohio. Did you know that? Like,
what?
Certain parts of Ohio, there's like some algae thing going on. That's all.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's some algae grew in like the water supply there.
It's Ohio too. Yeah.
I know you can't. What is it? Water your lawn or wash your drive down in Sacramento?
Yeah.
It's like a drought.
Yeah.
It's like a weird. It's like a weird thing now where you can't water your lawn, but because of the drought, the people's lawns are so. Like, there's a law about keeping your lawn and like nice, and so like the drought has killed people's lawns and they can't water them. So
people
like
are
they're like
because
they,
of the
they,
drought.
They get fined for having shitty lawns, but they can't water them. So it's like a weird thing.
We know what they say: if you make criminals out of people who mow their lawn, then the only people who water their lawns will be criminals. So
the old
Grayson,
saying.
We're off to a good start.
Why Grayson?
I'm assuming that's because of the whole fish plays Pokemon thing.
What are you talking about?
So, if you may remember, when I was last on the show, I was really into that Twitch plays Pokemon
last
thing,
time,
which was
8-4 play.
Yeah, that
you
was
were into
that
it
was someone's
it was cool.
I was. That's right.
That's right.
So that has since apparently they've actually gone through all of the games now. Mm. So even all the DS games, they're done with them.
You mean
the
you stopped games. Watching at some point?
I stopped watching after Red. Actually,
even you got burned out.
Yeah,
the thrill was gone. But now something has rekindled your interest.
Yep.
So, and what is that?
So now there's a fish in a fishbowl somewhere.
Yeah.
That has, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know where it is?
No, actually, I don't. I haven't looked into
that. To protect
that.
The fish. Yeah. The fish has become super famous.
Yeah.
Right.
And somehow, based on where this fish swims, it sends messages to a copy of Pokemon Red and inputs hilarious. Commands into the game. It hasn't really accomplished much. I think it's still in the room.
It's like 125 hours in, and I don't know if it's done much of anything.
I think they really need to tweak it, because the button, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, the screen is set up so the buttons are really small, so it, like, a lot of the times, it's just not doing anything.
There's no input? Okay, yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem.
It is a problem.
You need constant...
Yeah.
Steady mm-hmm. input.
To make it interesting. Because right now, like, it's literally watching a fish swim around. Because there's nothing going on.
It's almost like a meta comment on the entire
That
Twitch
sounds like
plays.
A great idea, but, like, rather than a game like Pokemon, like, it'd be cool if it could play, like, a twin-stick shooter or something, and then, like, just compete for its own high score.
But it would
I think that would be, like,
time.
More interesting.
Oh, I see.
That might need to be, like, a dolphin or something, like, higher evolved, more intelligent
A dolphin
fish.
Playing Echo the Dolphin.
There you go.
Now, oh, that's good.
Really,
yeah.
Now, okay. Start writing this
dolphin
down.
Dolphin.
Cancel the podcast. Yes. Let's just brainstorm. Let's keep throwing out ideas. So let's see, who else do we have? Well, so welcome back, Roy.
Thank you.
The other reason that you're here is you are now a full-fledged 8-4 employee.
Woo-hoo! That's right.
Woo-hoo! That's right. So
I guess we have to change our name to 8-5.
No.
Okay. No.
But it can be like the 8-4.1.
Yeah, JJ, we didn't tell you about something that's
oh,
that's Friday. We usually do that before we leave the office on Friday.
Yep.
After I edit the podcast.
So yeah, congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
There's some pretty cool projects.
I'm super excited.
That you're going to be working on. Mm. You've been doing some stuff for us in the meantime, too. But what's it been like coming back to Japan? Is this your first summer, proper summer?
I've been in Okinawa for the summer, which is also very hot and humid.
Is it like a giant armpit there, too?
Kind of, yeah. Mm. But here, it feels like the sun is somehow more painful.
Yeah.
Like, it's really... It almost just burns when it touches your skin.
I think it's the concrete.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Concrete jungle.
There really isn't anything on this planet worse than a Tokyo summer.
Yeah, I'm gonna... Especially because the...
Actually, That's not true.
Says JJ, as there are like wars raging elsewhere.
Yeah, and... yeah, well, you know. All the really, honestly, real bad stuff out of the way.
I was researching, like, adapting to hot temperatures.
Yeah.
And you know how you were saying, like, I was really red this
yes,
one day?
You well, are still a little red.
Am I? Okay.
Yeah, you are.
Well, apparently when your body's adjusting to hotter climates, like, your core forces your blood to the surface of your skin to, like, try to help dissipate the heat. So.
Okay.
So that it's not sense. Just that that's I'm a weird red person. Right. I think that's what's going on. I think that's what's
happening.
It could
be that the clip in your hair is too tight.
Maybe no, possibly. No. Because it's not always...
You're like, what clip in my hair? I didn't... What? No, oh, that's your body reacting to part as well, automatically.
Through a clip.
And your beard has turned red
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, you know, I forgot my electric razor, so I'm looking really scraggly. Yeah.
So are you going to get beardy and beardy? As
well? Or I'm going to buy a new razor.
Just go to the straight razor? I mean, yeah, because... You know, beating the Tokyo heat. It's like JJ who complains about the summer is wearing like a flannel shirt, long
short sleeves. You have something on underneath that.
A t-shirt
well,
underneath.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't like to get my clothes all sweaty in the morning.
I actually, when I was
come
doing
in with a parka.
When I was doing research on, you know, surviving in the heat, that's actually what you should do. You should have an underlayer to absorb the sweat.
Yeah.
And then
boom.
Some people say that.
Listen, I am from the South. That is a humid, shitty part of America, and I am used to this kind of awful heat. And what we do back down in the South
is how we do.
We wear undershirts.
Yep.
Because Adrian, we've covered this before.
The second layer shirt would actually just increase the amount of sweat that comes out.
After a certain point,
you weren't born in the South.
After a certain point,
think that.
After a certain point, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's just all
and
fucking
those,
hot.
Like, heavy wool socks that you're wearing.
No.
Those are also... Okay.
Yeah.
Like
they're,
a survival
they're,
strategy.
They're
gotcha.
short. And they're not heavy. They have little pockets of air. Like, it's
gotcha.
Not it's not wool.
Okay. Well, okay. That's JJ, like, father, like, Corsair, son of the storm.
Corsair, son of the storm? I don't
Do
think
you
I
get
understand
that?
This. No, I don't.
Okay. How about JJ Bayo Epperson? As in Scott Baio.
Scott Baio?
I'm just going to keep throwing them out here. Right? So the first one was a Dota 2 reference.
Okay.
Because you are like slowly indoctrinating your son into...
Oh.
How do I... Now, I was able to find this Dota reference through the magic of the internet, but...
Because I'm a little rusty. Okay. I'm like actually starting to get back into Dota now. Like,
I think it might be like a minor character, not even a character.
Maybe.
It might even just
Wait,
be
you're teaching
be
your
boat.
Son about Dota?
No. I just like... Oh, so the international happened, and Tony, ex-intern, friend of the show, was there. And we did like a goods exchange where he bought me stuff from the international, and I got him a new hat. Because his favorite brand is only in Japan.
What's his favorite brand?
It was... Oh, I forgot.
You don't remember?
I don't remember. But it was in... Akihabara.
Okay.
So.
Wait,
no, it wasn't
really?
Shazbot. No.
Akihabara, okay.
There's some other places, but Akihabara, I was already there. And I got him the hat, which was an expensive hat. It was like a $100 hat.
It was one of those hats where it's like an anime girl who puts her hands over her
no.
eyes, but it's actually a hat.
I want that hat.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Okay, that's what I figured. I know Tony, so
yeah.
I just kind of figured.
And yeah, he got me some stuff from the international, which included like a stuffed animal and some figures and stuff like that, and a mask, actually.
Okay, because you still haven't shown him Star Wars, right?
No.
Okay.
I'm waiting for when he can fully understand it and stuff like that.
So you had him put on the mask, take off his clothes, run around naked like a
horrible,
little pagan.
No, he just put on the mask because he wanted to put it on. And like I had him wield his Power Ranger sword.
You have to have your iPhone out.
It's a Power Ranger samurai sword.
Mm-hmm.
Officially licensed merchandise.
You haven't had your iPhone out and we're taking footage and...
No, I just took a picture.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Hey, like, a lot of stuff is legal in Japan.
Yeah.
That's how they do it in the South.
But, yeah, exactly. That's not right. So, yeah, I just, you know, he liked the mask, so we put it on, and I took a picture of him.
Okay.
With it on.
That's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough Dota talk.
I'm surprised you didn't talk about how, like, I had the plague for a week and...
No, yeah. So I mean, you're sick a lot. So I think we've used all of those nicknames sooner or later. How are you feeling?
I'm still sick.
You are?
My throat hurts still.
What is the technical name for what you had?
It was like the summer, like a summer cold that turned into like a canker sore on my tonsil slash I don't know. It's like all sorts of...
I think you had like some very specific...
Oh, no, no. So it was like a summer cold mixed in with my typical...
disease-ridden...
Disease-ridden lungs. Bronchitis. That was the word I was looking for.
Okay, yes. Okay. Bronchitis.
So it was like a double threat of just like awfulness. And I was sick for a full week and it was terrible.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad you brought it up.
Thank you.
So
this is going to be a fun podcast for me, I can tell.
On the podcast, we've got John Buzzkill Ricciardi.
Ah.
Buzzkill.
Buzzkill. That would be your name if you were a fighting game character this week, just because you've got a big haircut.
Because I have no hair anymore.
That's right. Maybe Sergeant Buzzkill or something like that.
Just sure. The green shirt kind
of like
matches.
A military motif or something like that. But yeah, how's it feel?
It feels cool. Yeah. This disgusting hell of a... So it really does, yeah.
It makes a difference?
It does. Oh, yeah.
I would imagine that as somebody who has, like, a mop on their head right now, that it would make a big difference.
Me, yeah. It makes a huge difference. Like, especially in the... Because, in the summer here, like, it's so humid and everything, and it's just, like, every little bit counts. Uh-huh. Every little bit counts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now
it looks good.
Like, breezy, and I don't have to do anything to it in the morning. I can just roll out of bed and
But
walk
I think
outside.
You should go, like, full Breaking Bad style. Yeah.
That might be the next... No, I'm not going full. I'm not... You mean like Jake Kasdal style? Like totally gone?
I guess. Well, man,
I'm not
maybe
going
not
totally gone,
totally
but
gone,
I might go shorter next time.
Nothing stops this train.
Military John. Buzz cut. What would your special move be if you were a fighting game character, John?
What would my special move be? I have no idea. I don't think about that.
And next to you, that is...
the buzz kick.
Sorry. That is... This is so stupid. That is Hiroko's Super Shacho, the Caped Contract Miyamoto.
Those were supposed to be separate names.
Oh, those were supposed to be separate names?
Yeah.
I thought those were the same name. I like it better as the same name.
What was it? The Caped what?
The Caped Contract.
You really didn't have time thinking about nicknames today, did
No,
you?
What are you talking about? We need to put up a picture of you right now.
You're wearing
what
a cape.
You're wearing.
I
you're
like
wearing
the cape.
A polka dot.
I want a cape.
That was... Purple cape. Yeah. And you were working on contracts like all day long. Yeah. So
the Caped Contract.
How's it going?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's been going on?
My polka dot cape has been keeping me warm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that actually meant for wearing, or is that like a rug that you just turned into a thing? You're... No, I see a button on it, actually.
Yeah, Hiroko, you need to keep your mic closer.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So you bought it for purposes of having a cape-like
Actually,
thing
I bought
to keep
this
yourself
to
warm.
Give it to... It was originally a gift, a baby gift, that I bought like 5 years ago. And I never ended up giving it to that baby, and the baby already like grew up. So I just decided to use it.
Wear it to fight crime.
You know, it's kind of funny because I do remember Hiroko making fun of me for my poogie cape that you guys bought for me.
Oh yeah, where is the poogie cape?
I actually do not know where it is.
What?
Oh man,
horrible.
Yeah, and I was looking
Everybody's
for
got
it.
Capes.
I was looking for it because like in the winter, it like gets kind of cold in the office.
Yes.
And I could not find it.
Wait, what about that like furry suit thing we got you? That
the zebra?
Yeah.
You guys still remember?
Yeah. Where's that? Why aren't you wearing that right now?
That's hardcore. You don't wear. You can't mess around with that in the summer, though, right?
I'll pull it out in the winter time.
I see.
Yeah.
And rounding out the cast, making his podcast debut. The anchor, we're counting on him to pick up this podcast, put it on his shoulders, and carry it across the finish line. No pressure.
Do my very bestest.
That is Zach, low and slow. Okay, I meant to ask you exactly how you pronounce your name before the podcast started, but I didn't. But I'm gonna take a stab at it anyway. Pinchik.
Ping pong.
Really?
Yes. Congratulations. Nice. It's very rare. It's back in like, you know, in the wee days, wee lad days.
Yeah.
It was always like pine chick or
pinchik
or
pinchik. Where is was that name from?
I believe it's Polish Russian.
Okay.
Some sort. Yeah. Polish Russian Jewish. So.
So Zach has joined us over the last couple weeks. I guess it's been now.
It's been, I think, just a full week of yesterday.
Yeah, full week. Okay. And helping us out with all kinds of various things. The latest of our growing intern army.
Yeah, the most exciting of which
shrinking.
We unfortunately can't talk about. But Zach was hard at work doing
yep.
some work.
Many,
on
many
title,
days
title
of
on.
Unconfirmed.
Yes.
For many hours.
Some people will see his handiwork fairly soon. Some lucky people. But yeah. So what's it been like so far compared to how awesome has it been here compared to how awesome you thought it would be?
It's been pretty awesome.
Right?
I can safely say that, yeah, the A4, I don't know, y'all are a friendly bunch. And, yeah, I mean, I can't talk about my special project.
That's right.
But, boy, has it been exciting.
That's, I can't tell if that's sarcasm. Pure.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. One project in particular you've been really fond
JK, have
of.
You been beating Zach according to the schedule that we set correctly?
It seems just, you know, I've been following the guidelines.
Tone of aggression.
I've been following the guidelines.
Defiance, almost. In his
it takes longer than a
tone.
Week to beat
okay.
them.
The mind control hasn't completely
set in. You have to break him
in.
Yeah. You haven't that's assigned true. Him his slave.
We don't exactly. usually let them go public before the public this soon in the...
Right. Maybe
that's
it was
true.
A little too early.
Maybe. Well, let's find out. We can find out by asking Zach, what's he been playing lately?
What have I been playing?
Yes.
Aside from the... unmentionable.
Yes, aside from the amazing stuff that you see around here.
Yeah.
Stuff that you can talk about.
I've been playing Move to Tokyo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that was
Roy's
that was
been
fun.
Playing that too.
Yeah. Roy's been playing that. We're kindred spirits there.
Do you have your stuff set up here yet? Or are you
Yeah. Everything is more or less in its in its place on the floor.
Where do you live?
I live in Sangenjaya.
Oh,
so,
cool,
yeah,
cool.
Nice. Like, quiet neighborhood.
Hmm. Yeah,
so
close to Shibuya.
Console gamer, PC gamer, mobile, handheld. What's your story?
Usually, recently, I've been doing a lot of PC gaming.
Okay.
Since I've been in Japan for 2 years doing the English teaching gig down in rural Shikoku. But, not a lot of console gaming there. I don't have a PS4 yet, but I've been
You're just, like, hooked up on Steam and...
Yeah, I've got, like, Steam and disgraceful like 600 or so games and
so then
that's what I've been playing a lot of Dota.
Okay.
You know, gearing up for the international
too.
Yeah,
Dota.
Yeah,
that's right. Dota. We've had a couple Dota talks.
We're surrounded
lately. Yeah. Around the office. What else you been into lately
aside from that? Not much. I've just everything's been really busy the past month, kind of wrapping up down south, and now moving here. It's not a lot of time to dig into anything.
Have you and JJ played together yet at all?
Not yet.
Okay.
Maybe this weekend.
Soon. No, actually, this weekend I'm going out to the in-laws.
You wound me.
It's gonna be bad.
You're going to a river, as you.
I can't wait to hear about it when you come back.
I'm going to a river. I don't know what river, but we're going to a
or
river.
Why or for what reason?
And we are going to swim in it. And eat curry.
Well, I'd be curious, like, your relative skill levels. Do you guys have a feeling?
Right, I don't know. I'm guessing Zach's probably on the same level as me, which is
we're
not that
garbage.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So it should be exciting.
Yeah.
Roy, what about you? What have you been playing? You just moved to Tokyo as well.
Roy got here in like 30 seconds after arriving, hooked up his PS3.
That's right. Roy, that's the right. First night there, it's like, oh, are you in good? Is everything all right? Yeah, I just got my 3S3 hooked up.
Well, like, you know, wow. it's a stressful trip.
Man.
I needed to unwind. Yeah.
With, and how did you unwind? What game did you
that's
play?
That's what I would
Dark Souls
done.
2.
Dark Souls 2.
In total silence.
In silence.
Wait, yeah, talk about that.
Well, so where I'm staying, there's a TV that's a Japanese television, and I don't fully understand the the menus and pop-ups and everything. Mm-hmm. So I hooked the PS3 up, and when the dashboard comes up, it's fine. But then the second I load Dark Souls 2, I get this pop-up that says something, which I was able to figure out thanks to JJ.
Yeah.
But basically, it was saying that some input needed to be changed. And I figured out, basically, I had to go into the audio settings of the PS3 and only allow the audio, like the minimum number of outputs. There was like one that was checked that I could uncheck, and once I unchecked it,
oh,
I was
okay.
Good.
So
I
it
was one
came
of those
out.
Things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same issue. Yeah.
Cool. So you got in playing Dark Souls 2. Are you playing the DLC?
I played a little bit of it. I think I got to like the first boss. I don't know how many there are.
Okay.
I can probably talk about it more maybe next next episode.
There's
but...
more. The second thing of DLC is coming out like at the end of this month already.
It?
Is it? I saw it on a release calendar, but it might have been a very old calendar.
I think they're pretty regularly coming out. Well, the three.
That's really fast though.
Yeah.
If that's the case, maybe I'm wrong. But
it's that game that they were like, we're not doing DLC for this game.
Yeah.
Like back when it was
I hear it's good though. People have been telling us it's good.
Yeah.
So there's some. I have some issues with like the enemies are very like. I know it's stupid to complain about the difficulty in Dark Souls, but these enemies, like, they don't... You know how in Dark Souls, when you hit enemies with a certain amount of strength, they kind of, like, stagger backwards?
Right, yeah.
These enemies are almost impervious to that, unless you have a ridiculously heavy weapon.
Hmm,
so yeah. If you use, like, a small... like a not very, like, long-range weapon, and you're not hitting really hard, it can be really tough.
Mm-hmm. Just not fun tough.
So, like, a strength build would have an easy time of it? Or?
Well, I mean, that's actually what I've been trying to gear up for. Like, I would use a strength build with, like, a heavy... like, something that does incredible poise damage.
Yeah.
Like, I'm using the... I just created a new character that uses a Grim Great Hammer, which is, like...
Okay.
It's basically an anvil at the end of a stick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
right, but so not, like... Well, a giant club would work, mm-hmm.
I'm guessing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Giant
Club. Do you use that armor set as well?
I like the pants a lot. Right now, I'm on a character that I refuse to wear shirts. Like, I never wear a top. and I wear those pants. And, like, you know the turtle guys?
Yes.
I wear one of their helmets, so I look really frightening. At least okay. I think. I kind of look like, you know, Jason or something.
Very nice.
How many characters do you think you've started in that game, including when you were just going and doing the beginning over and over again to try to get the random silky smooth?
Oh, I told you about that.
You told me about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right.
What was it
probably
you were trying
about,
to get at that?
I wanted to get. So if you do a petrified something at the beginning of the game, you can exchange it for one of several random items. One of them is the Channeler's Trident, which is this this staff that lets you do like this dance.
Yes,
and
that's
it boosts
what it was.
Your allies.
That's
so,
right.
So I was just doing like I basically just made a character to help people, and I would go into their games and I would just do that dance before bosses. And I like helping people in that game.
Right, so, right, right. And the dance is the guy in Dark Souls 1.
Mm-hmm. Same,
same
as that dance.
As well.
Those mages. Yeah.
So the mages that has it looks like a candelabra that he's holding, and he does a little jaunty dance on one leg and then the other. That's the dance that you can do for people to know. So this is good because you're somebody that's actually still really deep in playing the crap out of Dark Souls 2. So what's your, like, I'm curious your kind of high-level takeaway on Dark Souls 2. What's your overall feeling about it?
Do we have enough time to go to
Well, we won't go Cliff's deep. We can go deep on, like, the next DLC or something like that. But I'm just curious, kind of like a gut check.
I definitely feel like Dark Souls, the first Dark Souls, is better in a variety of ways, but Dark Souls 2 is still a decent game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's still worth my time. I still get, you know, enjoyment out of it. But some of the things that I really liked about Dark Souls 1 are lacking in the second one, I
Such
think.
Such as?
Like, what?
Well, like, map continuity. Like, you know how in...
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, I don't like how... But there's that one instance that everybody talks about. It's the Iron Keep, which is like a volcano that... you take an elevator up to it's hard to explain. You have to kind of experience it in the game, but it's like you go into a windmill, and then at the end of the windmill you go up, and then you're at a volcano that's like surrounded by a pool of lava, so you never see lava stuff like that. I mean, Dark Souls, you could look off into the distance and see like a tower, and eventually you'd end up at that tower and you'd look back and see where you were before, and it's everything just meshed together really nicely.
Right
So there's that. The soul memory thing is another issue. I think I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I like it because it helps players not get invaded by ridiculously strong characters.
Right.
But the negative to it is that if you just want to build a character to just help people at a certain boss, which is like, I think a lot of people like to do that. They just like role play. Like, I'm just going to help people be.
Right.
You know, Ornstein and Smough.
Yeah.
You can't really do that because at a certain point,
God for those people.
At a certain point, your soul memory will be too high that anybody who's trying to, you know.
Sure.
So you basically have to create a new character.
Exactly, and then get to that boss. So there's less people helping fight the higher level bosses. At least that's been my experience.
What were you trying to do recently? Where you were trying to see how little soul memory you could have clearing a certain boss or something?
Right before I left, my friend came over and we were drinking, and we were like, let's see the lowest soul memory we could get to the DLC with.
Right.
So we
it's
would,
so great that you're working here. Like, you're like, when I get drunk, it's like, fuck. Let's see how, you know, it's not like hitting mailboxes with a baseball bat or something like that. You know, it's like, let's see how it's low soul memory.
You make me sound like such a nerd.
No, that's what I'm saying. You are like
Connecticut sound.
You are among friends.
Well,
you've ended up in the right place.
Thank you. Yeah. So basically, we would like after that, we would take pictures, like screenshots, with our phone and send them to each other and be like, 40,000, and it'd be like 39,000. Like, also, we would see which weapons worked best. Yeah. I did really well with just the Falchion. I really like the Falchion. It's very fast.
What'd you get it down to?
I think 39,000 was the lowest. It's hard because
Which was the boss? Which boss?
You have to beat the Rotten in order to get there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's tough because...
The Rotten, is that the one that will like swallow you and eat your armor?
He's the one that's made out of people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And you have to buy the cat ring to get down there, so that's basically like, I think, 14,000 souls.
Okay.
So...
Cool.
Yeah.
So still trugging along. You're mm-hmm. excited for new DLC.
Yep.
Going to keep playing.
Yep. I will talk more about it. Cool. In a future episode. Yeah.
Anything else you've been playing?
I bought Legend of Heroes: Trails in the Sky.
Steam.
I want to play that.
No, I bought it for my Vita the plane ride here because I saw that it came out on Steam and I remembered that everybody told me that I should try it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I put about 7 hours into it on the plane, which I can't believe my Vita even lasted that long.
No, yeah, kidding.
That's kind of
Did you have like airplane mode on all that shit turned on?
Yep.
That does make a big difference. Mm. Yeah.
I like it so far. I mean, it feels like a PS1 era JRPG. It's really.
It kind of looks like one too.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
I mean, it's like 2D, so it's not like it ages bad or anything. Yeah. But no, that's a really good game. Actually, it's one of those games that I've been meaning to go back to. It's like on my there's the backlog, and then there's like the actual backlog that has a chance of getting played, and that's definitely on that the latter. It's like I do want to play that someday and finish it. I have a lot of interest in that series and in all the other like spin-offs and side games and stuff that are in Japan. Like, remember when Brendan was around, they talked a lot about like Sen no Kiseki and stuff, like the action game RPG. Mm. Like, they all sound awesome. I wish I had time, but they're all so huge.
Yeah.
It's like,
what's going on with that series lately? Is it still
going strong in Japan? Their number part Sen no Kiseki 2, the sequel to that game Brendan was in love with, is out like I think next month here for PS3 and Vita.
Wow.
But like the game he's playing just came out on Steam in the US, and that's a big deal. So like
who
I think it's like $20.
Exceed.
Okay.
It's Falcon, like traditionally PC oriented company in the first place. I mean, those games actually started out as PC games, so it's kind of funny they went to PSP and then got like ported back to PC to go on Steam. But like
they were like the only like PC 88 or whatever.
No, not that far back. Falcon was, but not these games. These games were like Windows PC games from a few years back. Yeah, but
interesting.
But the thing is, the second game. So this is a trilogy. Mm-hmm. The second game was two UMDs on PSP, and so as a result, they could never put it out in the US because like they wanted to do digital, but there's no way to do like the two UMD. There was all this crap with that game for getting it out.
There's no way to do the two. Wait, there is.
There might be now. I don't know.
Final Fantasy VII. And stuff has come out digital, right?
Well, this is a PSP issue, and I don't know the exact details, but I know that they were basically prohibited. They couldn't do what they wanted to do, but now that they're on Steam, they're almost done localizing the second one, and it's going to come out on Steam, so that's really cool. So
that's
people
a good
who
idea.
Really liked it, it ends on a cliffhanger, too, I think, so people who really liked it can
spoiler.
Continue that. I didn't say what the cliffhanger was. People can continue the series, so that's pretty cool.
Kind of gave me flashbacks to White Knight Chronicles. That was the worst cliffhanger ever.
Probably
Best game ever. It's true. So you're liking it if you're playing it 7 hours.
I'm liking it a lot. The characters are really, like, I don't know, they're not your generic JRPG characters. They have a little bit to them. The world is interesting. Like, I like that you kind of start in a rural town and you really get to know the city that you're or the town that you're in because they do a good job sending you from place to place, but like telling you what you do there.
Mm.
I could talk about it more later, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
It's from an era. It just happens to be a game from like I don't know 10 somewhat years ago. That's finally out on like modern systems in English. But like it comes from the era when actually Falcom made like really amazing games with really good stories. I think their storytelling has kind of gone down the shitter in recent years. But like this was from their golden era, so it's kind of nice to get. I mean, it's super late for Japan, but for us, it's like we're still getting amazing.
Falcom's almost their entire library never made it over to America.
Yeah, they have a lot.
So, like,
really
they've got a lot of hidden gems that need to be brought over.
Speaking of golden era RPGs and games that didn't make it over to America, at least initially, I've totally randomly also been playing on my Vita Final Fantasy V.
Really?
Really?
Yep.
In English?
In Japanese.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I played it, like...
You beat it already back in the day, right?
Way back in the day. Literally 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And so, playing it again in Japanese, I'm about 5 hours into it, And it's funny, I feel like an adult returning to like the town that you grew up in or something, you know, or like all the buildings look smaller and stuff like that. Like, I'm only like 5 hours into it, but even in my memory, like the dungeons and stuff were way longer and the bosses were way harder.
You're still pretty early on, though. That game ramped up big time.
So right now, actually, I'm at the boss that's the, I think it's the fire crystal. And so the boss is like, I don't know if you remember, it's like a hand of fire, and then it turns into like a dude made of fire, and it turns into three different things. It just kicked the shit out of me. Like, it's the first time that I really like hit a boss that was hard, and I have to actually be using like the different jobs and stuff like that. Like, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't a pushover until then, but I was just surprised how like short the dungeons were. And to my memory, some of the dungeons, like the shipwreck, which is a super cool idea for a dungeon and really well executed, especially given like the 16-bit pieces that they were using at that time. I mean, that game is so good. I love that game so much still now, today. But
could be also that you're playing it on Vita, so it literally is smaller. It's like you're playing.
Is it like screen. No? It's just like because I'll like go into a dungeon. I'm like, shit. Okay, I better like hunker down. I can't save now for like, you know, 2 hours. I mean, on the Vita, I can suspend it, which is really nice. But, you know, not being able to save anywhere is like, okay, I'm in a dungeon now. I got to get to the save spot or whatever. That's like takes my mind a second to like adjust to. But I'll like hunker down, and then like a half an hour later, I'll be like at the end of the dungeon. And again, this is the beginning of the game, and I haven't been grinding at all yet or anything like that. But I've been just having like so much fun messing around with the jobs. I only ever played it in Japanese, and
really?
Same. I thought that I was missing a lot of the story, and probably I will get a lot more of it coming out, but I've been surprised so far at like how much I actually was able to understand, even just from like the pantomiming little actions that the little characters do. They're really expressive, and they really use these limited number of movements and stuff to really sell what's going on. So, so far, all the major plot points I've understood. There's been some minor things that I didn't get, and, like, a lot of random villagers saying stuff and jokes and things like that that I'm able to get now that I wasn't then. But
is it the original graphics, or are you playing, like, the weird
original graphics? The thing that actually... Well, so it's the PlayStation version. It's the PlayStation version. Which pisses me off only really in one regard, because so far it's pretty much identical. But so load times is actually surprisingly one thing, which is like when I'm saving my game, like why it should just be instantly.
Yeah.
Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
That's one thing. But honestly, the thing that pisses me off the most is when you go into battle, it's not.
There's like a pause.
It's not. Yeah. It doesn't like zoom in and out and in and out and in and out and then go into battle. It has like a. What they thought was probably like a really cool PlayStation effect, which is like it like spins and fades into battle.
And then it takes longer to load it up or whatever.
Well, it's not even that it takes much longer. It probably takes a little bit longer. I just missed the...
It was probably a feature at the time, like, cool PlayStation effects.
Right. It's like, it's probably just something... I bet you it's also something that like you couldn't do it instantaneously, so like it doesn't look good when it takes like 2 seconds to do or whatever. You know?
Right. So yeah, that and then coming out of battles is the same thing, but...
That's one of my favorite games. Ever. I played that game so much. I mean, I beat it. I played the hell out of it. I maxed all the jobs.
Didn't
that was like
back
when
that?
I actually had I did a fact on that. That is still like the top of game facts, like right now, 20 something years later.
Have you guys played that, Roy, ever?
Which one is five?
Five is the one with
memory.
The jobs, the all the different.
Is it like.
It's the one where the meteors crash to Earth and there's like people on them and like the story.
I know I played the PlayStation 1 ones, like the remakes.
You did.
I did, but I don't think I. Beat any of them. I got pretty far in six. I liked six a lot.
Six is excellent.
Too.
Yeah. Six is excellent. But
4, 5, and 6 are like I think the high points of the whole series.
Totally.
But 5 was like the one with the gameplay. Like 5 was the one where like
5 was just so deep. Like and people are now actually just last month people were doing the 4-job Festa.
Yeah.
Thing which we've talked about on the show before, but where you only take one job per crystal. And you choose it randomly.
Ooh,
and you can finish the game.
Sounds like fun.
Everyone's been able to finish the game.
It sounds like something you would like.
Even with these like really random ass jobs that shouldn't like pair up well at all. Huh. They're like there is a way. Nature finds a way in Final Fantasy V. Which that game is just
there
so
is.
Just brilliant mechanics. Like I really missed the idea of after a big combat, like my guys have leveled up, and they have gained a skill in their job, and sometimes you have a new item and stuff like that, and sometimes you even have now like a whole new batch of jobs to like check out and try out and stuff like that. It's just like it's just like little Christmas morning every, you know, after every like boss battle. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to like get into the menus and just futz around and see like what are the new jobs and skills that I might have and stuff like that. For people who have not played that game, and even the graphics and the little dudes, you know, each little guy, each little character has different jobs that they can be set into, and you can tell just by looking at the icon, like they sprites, all look the sprites, they all look like the Black Mage or whatever, but they're all a little bit different, and you can tell which character it is in that job just by looking at the sprite.
Early 90s Square were like masters of pixel art. They were like amazing. They did the most incredible graphics. Like, stuff looked so good for its time. What you're describing, basically, I think a lot of people, like modern, like younger players, is their Bravely Default. Like, I don't think Bravely Default is as good as Final Fantasy V. Obviously, it's evolved past it in certain ways, so you can't really fairly compare them, but like, it is essentially a modern day Final Fantasy V. It's the same thing. You get jobs the same way by, you know, you beat bosses or you do things, you unlock jobs, you do the skills and everything and abilities in the same way that Final Fantasy V did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as pretty because it's 3D and it's, you know, it's a different visual style. And
it's not as pretty?
I'd say the game is a pretty beautiful game.
I don't think it's prettier. I mean, it's technically it's prettier, but what I mean, Final Fantasy V is like, in my mind, pixel art of that caliber is like, it's like a painting or something. Like,
right.
It's just super, super
well, like,
beautiful.
To us, that probably looks a lot better. To like a kid today, if you showed him Final Fantasy V, he'd be like, what is this crap?
Sadly, yeah. But
I don't know. I grew up in that era too, and I mean, I understand what he's talking about. Like, the SNES art, SNES Square art was amazing for the time. But
here's
like,
the thing about that era, though. But I don't mean to cut you off. But like, the thing I'm not disagreeing with you that it's really pretty. It's pretty in a different way. But like, the thing that's amazing about pixel art back in the day, I don't agree with anyone who's like, pixel art is tired out or whatever. I'm sick of pixel art. That's
timeless.
A bunch of bullshit. Because yeah, it is timeless. Pixel art essentially forces you to use your imagination. So like, when you play Final Fantasy V and you start the game, and like, Lena's out there on the roof and her father left and she's like with her dragon, and it's like it's like dawn or whatever, you have to put the rest of the pieces together to paint that image, but it's like amazing. There's so much atmosphere. Or like Link to the Past, when you go outside and it's raining.
Right.
To me, I get way more out of that than I could get out of anything in Bravely Default.
The beginning of Mother 3 is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's like, so like, that's what I mean. Like, that kind of stuff really does a lot for me with the art. So in that sense, I think like Final Fantasy V looks way better. But.
Yeah. Some of the other stuff, I'm really enjoying replaying it. I'm like really taking my time, trying to understand everything. I'm like looking up anything I don't understand or whatever. Just the, like, what the game asks of you. This is like a more general old school game thing, but like, just going around looking in every pot and every, you know, bookshelf and every random corner. Like, they did some devious ass
playing all the pianos
stuff. Playing all the pianos, going to all the little back corners, and they were really good about putting something there to reward you for doing all these like little devious back alleys, and in every dungeon having a chest where it is off the beaten path, but you see it and you're like, crap, there's some way to get to that chest. And like, I know this is the boss up here this way, but do I want to actually go there, because I might not be able to come back here? And
those kind of things were kind of, for me as a kid, they were kind of irritating. Just because like, it's like, ah, it's over there, but I know I'm gonna have at least two random battles by the time I get there and two back.
So yeah, there's that too,
and it's like, I dread it, and sometimes I don't go just because I'm like,
well, yeah, of course, definitely. But
well, they made an iOS version apparently, but it looked terrible, so I didn't.
Yeah, like, it's like
style,
the weird.
They kind of took. They, for some reason, they thought they needed to update the art style to be like just an ugly kind of pixel art instead of just using what they already had.
It's like clip art.
Yeah, well,
that's animated clip art. That's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
I do kind of wish. I mean, I'm enjoying playing my Vita, but I do wish that I had it on my phone. But it's like, it's just one more step removed from the real thing. I almost now wish I was playing the Super Famicom. If I had one, or if I had a Retron, I probably would be playing the cartridge, just to, because I do miss even the little things. I miss the little things that they changed.
Yeah, I think there is like a goodness to having that original cart, playing it with the original controller. I think it, like, you know, a lot of people would be like, nostalgia, but I do think it completes the experience a little bit.
So I'm like really into this, and I'm probably, I mean, this will probably take a long time for me to get through, because I'm going to be really busy.
But there's some other remakes you're going to be playing soon too.
Well, There are.
Yeah.
Something we can talk about, or are you being...
Well, no, it's fucking Resident Evil.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm like, where are you going with this?
Yeah. That's not a remake, that's a port.
Let's like save that for news.
Yeah,
let's save that for news. But I want to play 6 again now. I never played 6 in Japanese.
Yeah.
So I want to do that. And I'm actually curious, after playing 5, I kind of want to maybe just even read it or watch a video of somebody playing through it in English, because I'm just curious, like, decisions they made for the place names and stuff like that.
5's localization is not that good, honestly. If you want to play the GBA version, at least... So the PlayStation translation was pretty poor. The GBA version, I've heard, is better. I think I actually played it. I don't remember, though. But
they redid it for...
Yeah, there's remakes of 4, 5, and 6 on Game Boy Advance that are actually pretty good.
They redid the translation from the PlayStation 1.
Yes, they did, yeah.
That's crazy, because that must have only been like a year or two.
I think it was Slattery. No, it was more than that.
GBA from PlayStation? Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was several years later. But
I think the 6 one is considered to be the best.
Yeah, but you could play those. I mean, and you'll have instantaneous feedback and stuff, but you might, I don't know, maybe the mode 7's not as good, and the music's probably a little down.
Did they retranslate 6, a.k.a. 3, as well?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The same way that they did Chrono Trigger on DS, like, they're not like, they didn't throw out everything and redo it, but they sort of, they fixed what they probably saw as, you know, mistakes or spacing issues,
right.
and of course you've got your hardcore contingent that are pissed off at all the changes and stuff, but then there are other people who are like, okay, this actually reads like an English speaking person wrote it, you know,
right.
So there's ups and downs. But
Zach, have you ever played a Final Fantasy?
I indeed have played a Final Fantasy before. I played my first legitimate Final Fantasy that I played all the way through was Final Fantasy
X.
How did you know?
I called it. I really did call it.
It is kind of weird, though. Yeah. Like, I think there is like a generation thing where like a lot of people's first was like, for me, it was 4.
Yep.
4/2.
/2.
You can stay.
And then there were people who were like, there's 7s.
I'm 7.
And then,
yeah.
And then 10.
Aww. It's probably tied to age, though. How old are you?
I'm 24 now.
Okay.
29. Roy.
JJ?
31.
Okay, so you guys are like close to each other, and me and John are close to each other.
But I had a big brother who was a gamer.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I was piggybacked.
I got into games later than most, I would say.
You're a late bloomer.
I'm a late bloomer, yeah.
I was in early, but I had... what I like to call just a weird history of games, where I had like a Super NES when I was really young, but never played Zelda, never played Earthbound or Mother, never played any of the Final Fantasy games.
So you're
when
abused
I had
as
like,
a child.
There was
what you're trying
the key moment.
You were like playing like Power Rangers games. I'm guessing.
Yeah, you're playing
Clay
Fighter.
Playing that,
fucking 24 hours a day.
I had The Secret of Evermore was my big RPG.
Oh, wait, and you had not played Secret of Mana?
No.
Oh,
no.
Did you even know of the existence?
No, I didn't. I was like a naive, you know, 6 year old or whatever.
But if you
don't know, it happens. There's people. Where did you grow up?
In New York City, but I just didn't have the group. Yeah.
Okay.
But the key moment, I think, was I went to a KB Toys and I was going to get GoldenEye, and I was there and I was like, okay, I want GoldenEye, and my dad was like, okay, and the guy at the register was like, oh no, you don't want that, it's boring, get Rampage. And so I got Rampage.
That guy
World
is
Tour.
An asshole. Rampage World Tour is not only is that like a terrible, terrible game. It is like it's worse than the originals even.
And so just since then, it's just been a long comedy of errors in game choices. So.
Wow.
So have you since played, for example, like a Super Metroid?
I have not played the original Super Metroid. I played Metroid Fusion.
Okay.
Is pretty solid.
What about what were your other big SNES games?
The big SNES games. I had Donkey Kong Country, of course. That's came with SNES.
Yep.
I had Ken Griffey Jr. Major League Baseball.
That's kind of like a staple.
Wow.
I bet you had
the
Lion King.
Super Star
Wars.
Yeah.
No Super Star Wars. I had the Lion King, which was hard as balls, but
Final Fantasy X, under what circumstances did you come to be exposed to?
I got a PlayStation 2 and we had it in our car, and so I would sit in the car.
What?
Yeah, you know, like you get those like the drop down like
different generations. Yeah. That's kind of a normal thing nowadays.
But, what?
Yeah.
That's the most amazing thing.
I would run down the battery in the car because I would want to play Final Fantasy X, and I'd just be sitting in the car and like, you know, I'd be playing and I would only get maybe like 2 hours. So we have these like long car rides, and I would have to like make sure, like keep track of time in my head, like, okay, I've got like an hour 45 in, I gotta make sure I save, I gotta make sure
because
you would lose, you know, like,
yeah, wait, if the car is turned off, does that just cut power to the PlayStation?
Well, if the car is turned off, you can turn on the battery,
right?
Okay.
So on more than one occasion I would completely kill the battery.
Oh,
have to jump the cables.
Yikes.
Wow. Hardcore, so you liked it. You liked Final Fantasy X.
I loved Final Fantasy X.
X has its defenders and its fans.
It's great laughing scene.
Did you do the whole, did either of you do the whole, like, was it get hit by lightning or avoid
lightning? Dodge the lightning too. I never could do that.
100 times or 500 times? Something crazy.
Never. Fuck that. Sorry.
I'm unfairly harsh on that game, but I think it's just because, like, it's sort of like I'm trying to balance out what I feel is like the overratedness of it. I actually enjoy that game.
Blitzball's good.
It was kind of the beginning of the end for the series,
but there was no
Nine
gameplay. It was just push the A button, the whole whatever button, the O button, the X button in America, all the way through is how I felt. So like, I felt like it had a really lot of really good qualities, but like compared to the games before, back in the day, the 16-bit ones, I felt like they like kind of gave up on trying to make these games like challenging, which bothered me. But it's not fair. Like, it is a really good game overall, and it is actually, I did play all the way through it. I enjoyed it.
Well, we should probably get moving on, because we could have like a very long I like talking about this stuff, but we could never stop.
We had a mini TV that we hooked the Sega Genesis up to.
You did?
Yeah.
Nice.
In the car.
Okay.
Yeah. I just wanted to put that in there.
I brought my Nintendo down with us to Florida one year, just in case anybody's writing a book. Anybody else been playing anything else of note before we jump into news? Mm-mm. JJ?
I played the Crazy Taxi game for iOS. It's kind of fun, but it runs like shit on my iPad.
Crazy Taxi, the free-to-play one?
Yeah, the free-to-play one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is this another Sega ad, or are we actually...
No, that's...
Wait, is this the one where you steer it by...
the touch screen.
Yeah.
The touch screen...
It's not just regular Crazy Taxi. It's a new game.
It's a very brand new, completely different.
What had you playing it?
I just saw it on the store, and I was like, I'll download it.
Okay.
The touch screens work okay. Sometimes they don't work at all, and it's kind of frustrating. Like, sometimes you want to turn, and it won't, and... Blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, you know, it kind of has the spirit of Crazy Taxi. And
It was made partially by...
Same dudes, right?
Yeah. It's got like, punk music, like, real punk music in there and stuff like that. So,
No,
but, unfortunately.
Anybody, anything else? Any real games?
No.
I can't say until next week.
Mostly the same stuff that I was playing the last few episodes. So, yeah, nothing really new.
Okay. Well, why don't we jump into news? It's the news. JJ spoiled our lead-off story a little bit earlier in the podcast. So yes, Resident Evil 1.
I was trying to make a segue.
Remastered for a new generation, 2015. So yes, Windows PC, PS3, PS4, 360, and Xbox One all getting basically the GameCube Resident Evil, aka remake, as it's called, that came out in 2002. Amazing, excellent game.
Yep.
That is one of the best games like I've ever played. That particular version of it is amazing. Yeah.
I would say it's not for everyone, but because it is hard.
Yeah.
It is difficult, especially at the start of the game, is probably the hardest part of the game. But that game was
shit too.
Yeah. It's very scary.
Super stressed. That was the first game I ever played that I felt like, honest to God, stressed. I couldn't play for more than like 2 hours at a time because I was super stressed out from playing it. But like in a good way. Like in a this game is awesome. This tension that it's making me feel.
I like this remake, this like new remake, as like a good way to introduce a younger generation to like one of the best games of all time.
Here's the thing. This thing never came out outside of GameCube.
Yeah.
Which is shocking. I mean,
There's no PS2 version, I guess?
There was no version ever on any other system.
There's a Wii version. Wasn't there?
Of remake.
No, I think there's a remake. This is on, the Wii, on make? Wii as well. Yeah.
It's on Wii as a GameCube, whatever game?
Maybe. I don't remember that.
I'll look it up while we talk about it.
Okay. Because, unbelievable. For its time, like groundbreaking graphics. Even now.
The thing was is that the lighting was so advanced. Only the GameCube could really do it.
It also did the best instance of moving a polygonal character around on a movie background.
Yeah.
But doing it subtly, because it has to be looping.
Right.
But just amazing. There's some outdoor scenes in that. They do it just right. Where it's just unbelievable. Mm. And actually, there's new screenshots in the new magazine. In the new Famitsu,
yeah,
of it, and it actually, I don't even think it looks that much better. I mean, it's crisper, which I'm totally happy about.
There's 16:9. If you see the screen side by side on like a computer screen, you can notice the difference.
But they didn't like redo the textures or anything, right?
It's just well,
like,
a little bit.
Say,
yeah,
they say that they're like taking it all apart and putting it all back together. But
really,
it's, but a, it's actually, a very noticeable difference.
It, yeah, I mean, it's a noticeable difference, but it's just resolution to me. It's what it looks like. Like it, they blurred a lot in the GameCube version.
Yeah, the characters are more detailed, but I guess you could...
A little bit. Yeah. Not that much, though. Like, for a game that is 12 years old, like, it has aged incredibly well. Yeah. But I'm just excited for more people to play it.
Totally.
Not as excited about the new control scheme, just because...
Well, you can use the old one if you want, right?
Yeah, you can use the old one, but I am afraid of... Well, I mean, I just... worry about it kind of
well a lot of people
it
don't
is,
like
pulling
stuff
it
up
it is on Wii by the way
what is the deal okay. yeah. with the new control scheme
the deal with the new control scheme they don't really specify
I'm
assuming it's the modern like more modern version of
but yeah
controls.
Presumably
not, like,
dual
you know,
stick
sticks, whatever like yeah. kind of third
I feel like that would
shooter.
Take a lot more reworking
was,
than just what they
was
had
it originally like
you know?
Tank movement
yes.
Yeah. Oh, see,
so, but that was part of the I mean
but part of the thing is
that
is I
this,
totally understand people who hate that gameplay.
That's why I never played it.
But the game was built with that in mind.
Yes.
So if you take that away, it's kind of like the Twin Snakes, right? Whereas like, okay, the game was not built with a, what was it in that game? First person mode everywhere or something. Right. And so it seems like, oh yeah, it should add that. That would make it better or whatever. But like bosses were not designed for that in mind. Mm. And bosses, even 16:9 is like, well, every room in that game is designed around camera angles and enemies are placed very meticulously
and
based on
the thing
on
with the 16:9 things. If you actually look in the Famitsu article, if you have a chance, it seems like they're doing, if you do the standard 16:9 is they just kind of cut in, they crop in on the picture. So you're losing the top and bottom.
Right.
Or they have an option, which is kind of like the old like VHS, what's it, PanoScan, where it, like as you move across the screen,
it moves
across an eye. I mean, like,
so that it keeps your viewing
range.
Yeah,
it keeps your viewing range as like 16:9, but on like a 4x3, from the 4x3 crop. And I don't know how I feel about that because like those old VHS tapes are just like takes all the directorial.
Occasionally, a little weird, the original might have done that. I know some Resident Evils ended up doing that, where the camera would kind of follow you a little bit until it switched to the next angle. But yeah, doing that in general, I mean, as long as you can just play the original version, I don't think I have much place to complain. But as somebody, I don't think it's really complaining. I'm just a little worried for people who, and I hopefully there will be a lot of people who pick this up, not having played it ever before. I just hope that whatever the new controls are, that it still works and the difficulty curve is preserved. Yeah. And I'm not one to be like, oh, the controls were perfect. What are you doing or whatever?
Well,
but the game was designed around those imperfect controls.
It's a legitimate concern. We probably won't know. I mean, maybe we'll play it with and we'll find out, oh, actually, this is feels fine.
I'm one of those people who buys into the whole, like, the shitty controls add to the horror. Like, you're trying to aim at the fucking zombie at the floor, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
I hated them for a long time, and I still kind of hate them, but at the same time, you can't, like, deny that that is part of it. Like, that is what makes the tension is, like, part of it is, like, oh my god, I can only do this much movement while this zombie is running at me. It's like...
Even not knowing exactly how hurt you were was a factor. Because it's like, shit, I don't have time to like look at the menu screen. I don't have a health bar like on my screen. It's not Code Veronica where you have like a VMU showing it.
Right.
It's like, so shit, like I think I might be like one hit away from dead, but I'm not sure.
Dude, remember the Crimson Heads?
So yeah, so they also added the Crimson Heads. They basically remixed the original Resident Evil. They added some new characters. They kind of retconned the fiction a bit. You know, they kept a lot of the big beats in the same moments from from the original thing. But man, I mean, just a really fucking fantastic, absolutely awesome, awesome game. Super excited for more people to be playing that. And a perfect excuse for us to finish our Resident Evil retrospective podcast.
We haven't forgotten.
Has that still not come out yet?
That has still not come out.
Well, we delayed when the series kind of shat the bed.
These things seem worthy of it. And this hopefully will be that, because sure as fuck the last few Resident Evil games have not been. So yeah, there's different interviews, different quotes and stuff like that. We've been very careful to preserve the original atmosphere of the game. there's the creators are saying, ensure no unnecessary changes will be made. Tempo and flow of the original game are inherent part of a scary atmosphere, so we made the decision not to disrupt it. They're saying, like, don't expect radical stuff. There's 5.1 surround sound, 1080p. We already mentioned the 16.9, blah, 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 blah.
I guess it will be cool that you can stream it, you know, now when you're playing on PS4 or whatever.
There you go. Mm. We'll get PewDiePie screaming out loud, I'm sure, God. And zombies.
PewDiePie, I think is how we said.
PlayStation 1 outsells Xbox 3-1 in the first quarter. Sony financials reveal.
Yeah,
PlayStation
4.
Apparently there are like rumors. Well. There are like rumors of more Xbox price cuts coming and stuff like that.
I'm not feeling seems super pretty.
Just PlayStation consoles, Xbox. Not
yeah. That one is
it's PS3 and PS4
at versus Xbox 360 and Xbox One. So.
They kind of yeah. get you okay there, and it's an Xbox combined brand as well. So, but yeah, more to the point. Speaking of JJ's favorite,
fuck this
PewDiePoo.
PewDiePie.
So this Twitch stuff, which kind of just came out.
This morning.
Yeah, as we were recording this, but a day ago as you're hearing this. So they made a couple changes. People very sensitive to Twitch lately, especially in light of the, I guess they're technically rumors that they got bought by YouTube.
Really? No, it's official now.
Is it official?
They just announced it, I think, the other day.
So I saw that stories that said it was confirmed by like VentureBeat, but I didn't see it get reported widely. Well, yeah, so Twitch is going to actually be doing a Reddit Ask Me Anything, which people should check out.
Oh, yes, oh that's going to be fun.
After this, yeah, but basically people are very sensitive towards Twitch, like selling out in little yeah. scare quotes
slowly,
I'm making here.
Slowly.
But so they did a couple changes. One is dropping its Save Forever feature where users take their archives and just basically have them as a video on demand. Now under the new system, it saves it automatically for around a week unless right. the owner of the channel manually sets the broadcast to that's how it was
right.
Under the new system, they will save it for up to 60 days for Twitch Turbo subscribers. That's actually a thing. Or members of its partner system, but there's no longer a save forever option, period. I forget what the default is. It doesn't seem to say in here what it will become. But and then the other thing is that Twitch is implementing a YouTube-like system for blocking copyrighted audio where it will automatically scan whatever your video is. This part is like, come on, this is inevitable to me.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean,
well, what
this
is it?
Just growing up, this is like, yeah, you were like, you know, just in TV for long enough. Now right. you're getting the big time. You're on every console. You're going to start to get to the bat with the big boys. Like, the party is over to some extent on the copyright stuff. This is just the kind of stuff that I think is growing pains that everybody is having to implement in with regular copyrighted stuff. Is it not?
I mean, it is sort of, but I mean, like, it's doesn't make it right for one thing. It's
doesn't
not like
make it right by it, Twitch or by the people who are enforcing well, copyrights.
What it is basically for me is that this was first made because on YouTube people could just put up songs,
yes,
and people would just go to YouTube and listen to free
and still
for
do.
Free, yeah, and yeah. they still do. But on Twitch, it's just like background music for some fucking dude playing Dota, like. It's not, nobody's going to be downloading or listening to any of this music,
but well,
exclusively on Twitch. Like, no one's going to go listen to John's fucking stream to listen.
No,
to
not to the and Dolly definitely Parton. Not to Dolly the extent Parton. That they would on YouTube. But like, why? Because
people are talking over it.
But why should you know you JJ? Let's say you make your living
right.
as like an artist or so anywhere in the music industry.
Right.
Of like you know Dolly Parton
yeah
music why should Dollywood. That person making their Twitch stream get the added benefit of if it's not just like 30 seconds or 15 seconds or whatever but you know
I want to believe that in a
like we do
in a fair
podcast.
World that's what's going on
yeah.
but I guarantee you the artists that are supposed to be benefiting from this are probably getting next to jack shit for it even if they're getting really honestly paid
yeah
it's like cents on the dollar.
Is this a big deal?
Isn't the biggest issue that like actual game music will be?
Well, actual
so
game
that's
music.
What I'm mm-hmm. That's what I
there
would
was
be curious and worry about.
There was an instance of a guy like humming a song that got picked up by the content ID filter. Like, there was also Twitch. That's Twitch's good. Fucking own somewhere. Show.
That sounds like something you heard from your brother.
No, yeah. It was, no, it was, really? Like, I saw the video. It actually happens. Fucking Twitch's own fucking show.
So, yeah, their own show had a clip of the, some music.
The Dota fucking International 2014 broadcast.
Yeah.
Got muted because of this thing.
I'm sure it's, I mean, if it's new, right? They'll work.
It's not
kinks.
New. This is the same system that was implemented on YouTube. It's the well, exact same right.
but,
content
I mean, it's
ID.
It's still relatively new, right. even there. And
it's
they
been
are
a,
still
it's been up
the
for
kinks.
Over a year.
Well, when I put videos up on YouTube, sometimes it just puts an ad for whatever song I have
right.
in, like, you know, download
right.
this song.
I'm sure, like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
There is some sort of.
Roy
thing
has
you
his
can
Dolly
put.
Parton exactly. Xenoblade videos, exactly. and those do very well.
But there are like instances where there is like a game music that is not covered by this content ID company that gets muted, even though like it's not perfect.
Like, Kiss Psycho Circus, my Kiss Psycho Circus videos, because that kind right. of blurs the line between game.
The thing is, like soundtrack. It's bullshit because it's not perfect. People are getting fucked by this company,
right?
So for things that are
okay.
completely out of their control, and the onus is on them to be like, hey, this wasn't under their copyright. They're like,
right.
hey, fuck you, it's our copyright. And you have to go in there and be like, actually, it was not that at
You're
all.
So riled, JJ.
I am riled
Dota
because it's bullshit. All this is some dude in a fucking suit who was like, hey, I can't sue these fucking teenagers for using our music, so I'm just going to fucking create this algorithm, this shitty ass algorithm that goes around and listens to people's fucking YouTube videos
okay,
and mutes
okay,
them.
Okay, okay,
I'm
okay.
curious to know just real quick what the ramifications are for the monetization, because I know like recently a lot more people have been making their living, you know,
right. through donations,
a living, so to speak, through the, you know, like Twitch. You know, you can subscribe to a channel, you can donate. And on YouTube, it caused a lot of problems for the kind of smaller groups that, you know, right. like the individual producers who couldn't quite...
The children. Yeah. Who's thinking of the children?
Well, I mean, yeah, well, think about it. Like,
okay, no, I'm done thinking about it.
Speed gaming done quick.
So
that's going to be affected. All this stuff. A lot of people are migrating. Cosmo was talking about
right.
migrating.
So that's part of, like, all of these changes. So, and that I am curious to talk about, because I was like... So real quick, Roy, I think that you brought up a very legitimate concern, which is so game music, like who owns that? If there's a soundtrack album out, does that mean you can no longer stream?
It's not even limited to that.
So,
there's stuff that
I'm
telling you the facts, man.
I gotcha.
There is actual game music that does not have a CD that has been filtered through the content. I'm just saying. You don't want to listen to my facts. I'm just telling you what the facts are.
All right. So that is a totally legitimate concern, and I have long thought, and increasingly am really thinking that Twitch needs a viable competitor, and that the consoles actually, in falling over themselves to sign up to jump on the Twitch bandwagon,
right.
actually might have kind of fucked themselves in the long term, because like if on PS4 you could not stream on anything but Sony's whatever system, or an Xbox was its own thing. I mean, it kind of sucks on the one hand. It's nice to have one place where everybody's going, if that one place that everybody's going is like a benevolent ruler, but it's super fucking tempting for those guys to become assholes and also stream really shitty into my apartment, which is the real reason why right. I think Twitch needs a real fucking competitor, because that shit runs like garbage
yeah.
in my apartment, and it pisses me off. That's why I was actually excited by YouTube buying them, because like shit, right. YouTube streams great to my apartment. Twitch is
ironically
garbage.
In this office. Yeah. YouTube stream is terrible, and Twitch is great.
So, and I got a lot of people on Twitter saying that's the case, not just here, but anyway, yeah,
A lot of people are saying Hitbox TV is where they're
right.
going.
So I heard that from a bunch of people. I want to sort of start to check that out.
Yeah,
we'll see though. I mean, I'm sure there were times where YouTube, where everyone was like, "Oh, we're gonna go to." Something that I can't even name because right. it didn't fucking happen.
Daily Motion.
Yeah. Speaking of streaming and problems, EA is now doing their thing, streaming $5 a month subscription service on Xbox One only. It's in beta now. EA Access is what it's called. So
it's their PlayStation Plus, basically.
Yeah, four games are involved. Roy, you haven't heard about this?
Except it's EA games.
FIFA.
Yeah. So who cares?
But it's a lot of people care about FIFA, Madden,
okay, I do.
Peggle That's 2, true. And Battlefield 4. So $5 a month, you get access to those, plus a 10% discount on digital EA content, even full games sold through the Xbox.
But it's like last year's game FIFA, store. Last year's Madden.
Oh, really?
So it's FIFA 14, yeah. Madden 25. You get early access to trials of games and a bunch of other new shit. $5 a month or $30 annually, so less than $3 a month annually. And retailers like GameStop will sell the memberships, which is, I think, kind of funny.
I could not be less interested.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But either is Sony.
Sony. That was pretty amazing.
No, I'm glad they kind of take a stand.
Thank you. Basically, yeah, they were saying it offers poor value, was the quote. We evaluated EA Access subscription offering and decided that it does not bring any kind of value PlayStation customers have come to expect. PlayStation Plus members are more than 200 likely, then they went on to use it as a PR opportunity for PlayStation Plus members. But here's the thing, and I think why this got a lot of reaction out of people is, like, fine, like, you personally are not interested, but yeah, do you like Sony making that choice for you?
Right, it is weird. I mean, I don't... It is weird
because
that
you're kind of competing with their service in a way.
That's what was super weird about this. Like, why would you even... Why do you even need to make that, like, decision? Because, like, it sounds to me like it's just because...
Well, here's both sides of this argument. If EA is doing subscription service, then hello, UB month,
Activision.
Or Activision days, or fucking every goddamn Xseed, you know.
But is that a
with
problem?
Two games to run together has their own subscription service.
What's wrong with it, though?
But I think it could become a problem
to it if you don't want to.
No, I mean, but it becomes like a Wild West instead of being like, all right, everybody, funnel in through PSN. PSN's where you go. Here's the storefront that you go to. Here's everything. Like, I mean, it makes sense from a Sony standpoint.
Yeah, I suppose if it's going to take away from the PSN, PS Plus, then yeah, you're right, because they've already built this, spent a lot of time and money building up that huge audience, and they probably realize that it's potentially damaging to let someone like EA cut into it. So I guess I get it from that angle.
And even from a user angle, I mean, and I'm just arguing all sides of this thing, even from a user angle, you want to kind of go to one place, right? Like, keeping track of everybody, oh shit, okay, this month this is on UB days, I get this thing for 20% off, but then PSN store has a sale and it's free for PSN members,
and then in
month,
the end PSN all they've got is like the guy game.
But you know, it might have been better to just say that than to say that this particular thing they don't think it offers value to the PlayStation consumer, because like, who are they to decide whether or not EA's games are valuable?
I think they're just trying to stop the snowball before it gets
legit. Like, I actually don't have, like, pretend to have the answer to this thing, because like, I mean, I default to like, let the users make the choice, but at the same time, I kind of don't want a fucking Wild West of everyone having their own subscription services that I need to keep track of.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are like, decide with your wallet, and I don't think that actually works. Like, I think
it does a lot of times, and competition, I think there's no easy answer to this issue,
and anybody
who says that there is not.
I'm okay with the platform holder doing it, though. Like, I still think pony up for like a virtual console, like monthly subscription or something, where I could get like all the games. Like,
what about how about, John, PlayStation Now?
No.
Rentals.
No. I'm not paying, what was it, $4 for like, the prices were ridiculous.
$3 for 4 hours, $6 for 7 days, $8 for 30 days, and $15 for 90 days. Payable via PlayStation Wallet.
Nope.
And this is under like review and ideas, and we're like, hey, we don't kind of know what we're doing. It's still in beta, everybody.
I suppose it makes sense from a business standpoint to start it out bending people over as much as possible and then see how much they'll take before you wind it down to like something realistic.
It doesn't make sense that this is
publishers, and how much of this is Sony saying it.
It
doesn't make sense that this isn't a subscription service, first of all. It should be Netflix.
I thought they said that maybe they haven't figured it out yet, but there might be that model too.
Yeah, you're right. It should be like a Netflix type model or something. But if it's not going to be, the prices need to be reasonable.
Yeah, it's like worse than Blockbuster, who, by the way, doesn't really exist anymore.
So here's one thing they said, that the service will start introducing a lower $2 for 4 hours price point.
It should be 99 cents.
I actually agree about the So here's the thing. This is the Wild West. They're just figuring this out. This is going to take like economists studying shit and data coming in for them to decide stuff. But to my mind, in looking at it, I was like, fuck, I am not interested in this at all, purely because of the pricing model. Mm. Yep. But like a 99 cent to try a game for 4 hours, or even like, even, you know, an hour or two.
Four hours is a weird amount of time, though.
Is that one of the options? 99 cents?
If you had to know, it's not
yet, maybe in the future.
But if you had a very expansive library and there was all these weird, like, Japanese PlayStation 1 and 2 games, or like, you know, European or even just American ones that I never played, and I'm like, you know, I am kind of curious about that, but just enough to try it. It didn't have a demo back in the day, so I can't try a demo, but I'll pay a buck to try it. And then, yeah, the trick is, I don't like this. Even 90 days, like, I'm not ever owning it. I'm never getting...
Why would anybody rent anything for 90 days? That makes no sense to me. Like, yeah. That's just well, weird...
this is doubly funny in light of saying that the EA thing doesn't provide value.
Yeah. Right.
Because $15 for 90 days is the same thing that it would cost you 3 months on EA's thing, and you're getting Battlefield 4... fucking FIFA, Madden, whatever, and here if 90 just... days for $15 you could be getting whatever fucking Ben 10 you know, Quest of Shit Town.
I guess if it's like, alternatively, if these are like current games, like games that just came out that you can stream and get, then you're just kind of doing what JJ does anyway, which is like buy it and sell it back in the short amount of time.
Right.
I could almost maybe see it, but that's it. Like, why would I pay for a streamed, which equals to me like, even if it's 0.1% laggy, it's not going to be as good.
I hear
as a real
game. The lag isn't too bad, but
it's not perfect, though. It's
pretty good.
Perfect.
I tried the connection test and they wouldn't let me.
But I would totally pay, I would never pay a dime for that, any of that, but I would totally do the subscription thing, probably without even thinking about it. So, like, why wouldn't you just offer that?
It makes sense that they're out there taking stabs at stuff, though, and that they would need to start off taking stabs up high.
Yeah.
You know, because they're working with publishers.
Way of putting what I said.
Game stuff. Right. So it's like, I still think that they're really smart for pursuing this initiative, and they're they're out there and they're taking their licks now, but they are out there like trying stuff, so I think it's really smart.
There's no reason to think they won't listen to feedback either. They've been pretty good about listening to people, so.
And PlayStation Plus is humming along. The August games are pretty awesome. Fez, Crisis 3, Proteus, Dragon's Crown, Metrico, I don't even have time to download all the games, much less play them.
Indeed.
PS Plus is like embarrassment of riches. Nintendo and sadder indie game news. Yes, Dan Edelman, erstwhile champion of indie games at Nintendo and hero to many friends of this show, has left Nintendo, which is sad. I mean, he had some nice things to say, you know, about people who are continuing the work with him, and
he has been talking
with
a lot.
But he has been talking a lot. He has a business to promote, and now he's going out on his own, so that totally makes sense. And I mean, he seems like, I don't really know him personally, I've met him a couple times, but he seems like a very frank fellow.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in any kind of large corporate environment, it would make sense that, you know, there would be things where he would be wanting to say stuff and then couldn't, and then once he's free, he's finally able
to. It does feel like he said everything he wanted to say in like the 2 or 3 years he was at Nintendo, all in like
all
one day.
Nine,
it was
nine
like,
years, but
he like left Nintendo, was like, everything we wanted to say.
Other stories coming out of Nintendo. One is this business journal detailing alleged turmoil within management at NCL. Which, even if it's not true, I think would make a pretty awesome miniseries.
Yes. like a J-drama.
Yeah. apparently in the story, and this is almost just like too easy and juicy and good to be actually be true, but it's like, you know, a bunch of people want Yamauchi's son to like come in and take over the company, and they're like,
does he even have a son?
He does.
Wada, you're an outsider, even though he's worked at HAL and then Nintendo for so long that he's not like... You know, he comes from outside the company, and now that Yamauchi has died, no one's there to oppose him.
And, like, Yamauchi's son, I think he's, like, been credited as, like, an associate producer on some really shitty games.
I didn't know even existed.
Well, now you do.
Yeah.
Also existing is some crappy new Zelda game that may or may not be coming out.
That game is going to be awesome. Wait.
Well, I guess we'll talk about it
next episode. Warriors. Get it next week.
Better Zelda news, you can dress up as Link when Monster Hunter 4 comes stateside next year.
That's not better Zelda news.
Confirmed.
It is. You could play a really, really good game with Your Zelda costume.
Zelda Warriors is going to be good.
Confirmed at Comic-Con.
Maybe.
They haven't specified whether or not the Super Mario Brothers inspired items, which felines can wear in Monster Hunter 4, are coming stateside.
I'm sure they're just trying to space out the image.
But they said we have more special equipment planned. Again, that game, U-Ultimate or 4-Ultimate, is slated for October in Japan and, quote, early next year in North America, Europe.
It's nice. A lot of those special items get cut for the American version, so I'm glad that they're bringing it over.
Yep. Bravely Default, we talked about earlier, sold 1 million units. That's kind of cool. 400K in Japan, 600K overseas. Yeah, apparently it's inspired Square Enix, I think we talked about this before, to re-examine its approach to developing JRPGs.
Hey, maybe we should make good games.
Yeah, what about that? Maybe they should listen to this podcast and hear what we just said about Final Fantasy V. Make more like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yo-Kai Watch also, Yo-Kai Watch 2 doing very well. Shipped
cruises.
2 million units. A couple of them bought in this office.
Quick Yo-Kai Watch story. We lined up for the new watch. 650 people in line. We got
the new actual watch
toy. We got within watch. 10 people, like they were doing a lottery. We got within serious? 10, like 10 people in front of us, and the last watch was sold.
Oh man!
We waited in line for an hour
in this heat.
Well, we were in a garage, so it was cooler.
Did Haruki cry?
No, he was just like, oh, man. But the kids behind us were fucking going nuts. Really? They were like, oh, my God. And me and our family were just like, okay.
You know, in that hour, they couldn't figure out we have this many watches. Let's tell this many people that
they're gonna get watches. Well, it was a lottery. So you, like, picked a piece of paper out of a box. So there was a chance we could have gotten one. A very good chance, but, yeah.
Speaking of Monster Hunter News, there's a statue, gold 10th anniversary statue, about 30 grand.
There's also some crazy...
We need to hit the guitar, too. There's a Monster Hunter 10th anniversary exhibit going on, like, 5 minutes from here.
No shit.
Let's do it.
Yeah, it apparently takes, like, an hour to get through the whole thing. It's, like, a huge...
Boy, how have you not been there?
I didn't know it was happening.
Yeah, Hikarie, you know the big building.
Like, yeah,
really?
Really?
It's in Hikarie.
You gotta buy tickets, I think, but like I think you can just go up and buy it and then go in.
We gotta do that.
Yeah, we should do it.
Shovel Knight guys have a really awesome, honest, open breakdown of their costs and their sales and what they went through to make the game. Check that out. If you haven't heard us talk about that game, buy that game too. That game is fucking awesome. Ooh, those guys are awesome. Definitely want to support them. Japanese console market, on the other hand, not doing so great, down 16%. Mobile market is bigger.
Apparently, it's bigger than the American console market.
Japanese mobile market. I read that too.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
That it shows you that you shouldn't just totally dismiss mobile games.
Well, no wonder fucking everybody's making mobile now.
Yep,
nobody makes console good
ones. And one company not too happy about that fact is GameStop, because you aren't trading in a lot of mobile games, and apparently people aren't trading in other games either. Apparently, like, what is this? People were saying one out of half or two out of three people don't even know that you could trade in games at GameStop.
What?
They released some.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that.
They fucking mention it at every second you're in the store.
Do you want to trade in your brain? They're like, fuck you.
Yeah. Those poor people are told to say that.
The worst is when you buy a game, they're like, do you want to pre-order this game that's slightly related to the game that you just bought?
Are you sure you don't want to use copy of this game that you're about to buy?
Do you want an edge card? 10% off your used games with a free subscription to Game Informer?
So they talked about this on the Player One podcast. I think they mentioned it, and I thought it was a smart observation, but like maybe this is the fact that everyone who used to go to GameStop now are hardcore gamers who buy their games digitally who don't go to GameStop anymore. So now the people who go to GameStop actually don't know that you can't sell your shit there because their customer turnover is now like
a really good point.
I feel like they're kind of also just correcting for inflation because they haven't fix their prices in like 15 years.
Part of that story that I won't go into is that they are like changing the pricing system. Apparently it used to be like up to 10 prices for the same game, and now there's reducing that down to 4. So that's great.
Yeah.
Walmart apparently is canceling a bunch of Destiny Ghost Edition. I guess that's popular because they're having to tell people, sorry, we can't.
That game's going to sell a lot.
Not GameStop, but GameSpot. Had a bunch of layoffs. Sorry to hear those guys.
Yeah,
but I'm already starting to see like some game trailers guys end up at some good places throughout the industry. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that those guys will all find a home and who knows, maybe even better off.
Some good place to close out.
And finally, apparently...
How many pages do we have?
I'm going to call bullshit on
this. This is fucking bullshit.
I'm going to call bullshit on this and maybe not even read some of the other ones. But so this, Blake Harris fellow... went back to the Nintendo Character Guide from 1993, which has info on characters, game logos, and Pantone color info for Nintendo characters. It's like a style guide, I think, for
marketing or whatever.
Yeah, their characters. And there's some other, there's just a bunch of weird stuff in here about Mario is destined to become a plumber and hero from the day he fixed a friend's broken squirt gun.
Wait, I'm not going to read the Yoshi thing. There was another, there's another detail in there.
Save it. That's okay. The good stuff. Princess Toadstool has like power of white magic, which keeps her elegant gown starched and clean.
Dude.
Even Bowser's dark and filthy dungeon, Bowser decided to conquer the Mushroom Kingdom because he could not stand the idea of happy fungi. Apparently.
Did they write that he has a Brooklyn accent in there anyway? No, I just like, okay, so everybody fucking knows the Yoshi Sar Muncha Koopas thing, but
no, they haven't seen that.
Okay, well, so apparently Yoshi's real name is T. Yoshi Sar Muncha Koopas.
Way to sell that.
Yeah, no, everybody, this, it's been on every fucking Twitter feed.
Not everybody who tweets you and posts on NeoGAF are,
or goes to Polygon, GameSpot,
and don't know that they sell.
But they say that, like, so Mario apparently isn't a human. He, like, a Homo erectus. He's a Homo Nintendonus.
Yes.
What the
it's a joke.
It's it was.
This sounds
was
to like, me like somebody should look up the date that like Howard Phillips left Nintendo. Like this sounds like what he did on his like drunken rage last day or something.
It sounds like the kind of shit that would come from the cartoon.
No, yeah, it sounds like the people who wrote the manual for the Castlevania games and named everybody like the stupidest names ever. You remember those like freaking Paul? Yeah, it's like that guy was at Nintendo for a week or whatever.
Yep.
Don't buy it. It's not true.
None of that stuff is real.
Miyamoto never decided any of that crap.
I don't think people were like considering it, you know, absolute truth. It's just kind of funny, right?
Yeah,
like,
I think some people.
Yeah, certain sites write news stories about it. Like, yeah, it's a big deal.
T. Yoshi. What would the T stand for? Tiberius.
The
Tyrannosaurus.
I'm sure they probably want Tyrannus, but I want to say it's Tyrone.
Well, think about that.
Tyrone
over the next 2 weeks until the next podcast, plenty of time to consider that. You should also play Rogue Legacy if you haven't already on your favorite
the perfect
PlayStation
game for
system, because yeah, I've heard a lot of people complimenting the save state thing, which is like the best implementation of it. More other people really need to do it. Those guys are friends of ours. That's a fucking awesome game from all accounts. I haven't checked it out yet. It's really good. Have you guys played it at all?
I played a bunch on PS4. Yeah. Okay. I mean, on PC. We played the Steam version to death, but yeah, but no, it's awesome. It's so good.
Vita just seems like a perfect, now that I'm like really using my Vita again now too, that's, I'm going to be happy to have that there. So definitely check that out. Anybody else? PAX is coming up. Some of us sounds like are going to be there. So
fun.
Yeah. Should be some cool things going on. Maybe we'll see some folks and be able to say hi and stuff like that. But
maybe there'll be some cool shit to go see.
Yeah, and I guess we'll have one more at least show between now and then, but anything else to talk about, or should we just tell people where they can find us on the internet?
We have a website at 8-4.jp. We have a second home at giantbomb.com. You can find our thread on NeoGAF. It's the same as the title on our website. And we have a Facebook and a Twitter at...
We have a Facebook.
You sound like my grandma whenever you say that. I don't have a grandma, but I mean, if I did, who was living, she would probably say, we have a Facebook.
We have one of the Facebooks.
Dead grandma.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that's wonderful. at 84play is our Twitter feed. My personal one is SPRSK.
At MarkMacD.
I am JohnTV.
At Kotawari.
And Zach.
At Zach Pinchik.
Okay.
You want to spell that again for people?
ZACKPINTCHIK.
Okay.
So, yes, tell us, as always, you know, what you thought, what you're thinking, what you're doing, how's it going, what you've been up to.
How's it hanging?
Hey, how's it getting?
All that stuff. And, yeah, that's about it. So, until 2 weeks from now, who wants to take us out? Okay, I get it now. I get it.
That was good.
Nice callback.
That's pretty accurate.
Very good.
bed and stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For service and devotion. You would think that I would deserve a fair promotion. Want to move ahead.
Complaciendo para todos los bailadores con esta rola que dice.